Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here this afternoon. We are live, and our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We get you on the program here this afternoon. And again, just invite you to try and follow us on facebook.com. Our webpage is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And right now we're able to, it seems like it's cooperating and broadcasting, so we've got it going there right now. So you can tune in there, and either online or on the air, whichever the case may be. Well, let's go ahead and open our program, though, with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come together here. We thank you for the medium that you've given us, the opportunity to be a blessing and to encourage people through the radio, and to point people to Christ. We just pray that you would use us for your glory today. And Father, we just thank you again for opportunity to serve. And we just thank you again that you're for your blessing and freedom that we enjoy in this country. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to see everybody here today. And just want to say again, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. And Facebook at Facebook Live, Live with Pastor Al. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Get that out there. Pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we have our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. And if you're looking for something to do tonight, we'd love to have you come out and visit us. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road. And the Richfield Holiday Express is right there where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike come together. And you can find us there. And let's see, I want to mention too, our Sunday services. We meet in the same location. We're there every Sunday, our 10 o'clock Bible study, and then morning Bible study there at 10. And then at 11 o'clock is our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of Philippians, and then on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we also meet there at 6 o'clock, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, so we'd love to have you come out and visit us. If you're here in the area, if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God and sticks with the Word of God, stands for the Word of God, stands on the Word of God, hopefully we meet that criteria, so we invite you to come out. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here, and we've got one caller already calling in. I'm going to get to in just a moment. I do want to mention something lest we get busy here with our caller and don't get back to it, but there's a particular Senate bill. Now, for you folks that are in Cuyahoga County, you'll understand the gravity of this bill better than people outside of Cuyahoga County. But Senate Bill number 11, this is, they call it the Fairness Act. It really isn't. It's not fair to women. It's not fair to Christians. It's not fair to anybody of faith, whether Christian or Jewish, really, in many respects. But this is the bill that will do on the state level what Cuyahoga County Commissioners Cuyahoga County government has done in Cuyahoga County, where it'll basically mandate that gender identity be added to the list of things where you have equal rights. Now, you know, no discrimination allowed on the basis of race, religion, or gender identity. churches in Cuyahoga County, legally, according to the county rules, have to allow men that identify as women into the women's restrooms. Now, that's just ridiculous. And that's what Cuyahoga County did. Well, Senator Nikki Antonio from Lakewood, she has got this bill sponsored in the Ohio Senate, Senate Bill number 11, and it is currently in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, if you are at all politically active, let me encourage you to contact them and contact your senator. Now, unfortunately, Senator Dolan, who serves much of Cuyahoga County, pretends to be a conservative. He sold us out on the Pastor and Church Protection Act, and he, when it comes down to the votes, doesn't seem to vote on the conservative side. He is not on the Judicial Committee, I don't believe, but if it passes the Judicial Committee, it'll go to the floor of the Senate for a vote. So you need to contact Senator Dolan or whoever your state senator is and urge them to vote no on Senate Bill 11. I live in Senator Rogner's district, and I'm pretty confident she's going to vote no against it. If you remember, she's the senator that sponsored the heartbeat bill, which is now law in Ohio. And so we need to defeat this before it passes the Senate. And after it passes, if it does pass the Senate, it'll go on to the House. But it is scheduled for a hearing. It was a hearing on May the 22nd. That was the last hearing, I think, that it had. It had a hearing that for the proponents. But I don't know if there's going to be another hearing coming up next week or something like that before it gets voted on as to whether or not it goes to the floor. So call your state senator and urge them to vote no on the Senate Bill 11, the fairness. It's not a fairness act. It's the Unfairness Act. And this is important because this is being moved on at the state level or the federal level as well. If you recall, all of the Democrats in the House of Representatives on the state level, they actually passed a bill there that is on its way to the Senate, and they're worried that it might get more traction than they originally thought in the Senate, which basically is, it's called the Equality Act, and it's going to expand the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. And it basically the same thing Cuyahoga County has, same thing that they're trying to push on us in the state of Ohio. And there's active measures to push this on the federal level. So you might want to call your federal representative, or actually your federal senator, that of course would be Senator Portland or Senator Brown. And hopefully Senator Portland is a no vote on that. Senator Brown, unfortunately, is probably a yes vote. So we need to pray. And because if it passes the Senate, then the only thing keeping it from becoming law is President Trump's veto. So I just wanted to get that out. If we get more time, we'll talk about that some more, maybe talk about more Sunday night. But we've got a caller that's been patiently waiting, and we've got William on the line. William, welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon, Pastor.
How are you doing? Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed, Pastor.
Amen.
And peace and blessing be upon you and your
family. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
And I'm 69 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I still don't know what my soul is. What is this soul that we have?
All right. That is a good question, because unfortunately it gets a bit confusing sometimes, because there's some passages in the Bible that seem at one point to kind of conflate spirit and soul together.
Right.
And I think that's partly because, you know, we have a physical presence, but we also have a non-physical presence. And the non-physical presence would be the soul and the spirit. And the first mention we see of the soul, if you turn to Genesis chapter number 1, okay, it talks about how God created us. And it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we're created in God's image. And in chapter 2, where we see the specifics of Adam's creation, it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So there's our first mention. And what I'm look at here, what I look at here is we're created in God's image. And we know the Bible reveals God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
So we see that, and a lot of times we call that the Trinity, though the word Trinity itself does not appear in the Bible, or we call it the Godhead, which does appear in the Bible. But what we look at here is God is a three-part being. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. So we have one God. And he's presented in the Bible to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we look at that, we're created in the image of that God. And if you'll notice here in Genesis 2, verse 7, when God created Adam, the first thing he formed was the body, the dust of the ground, he formed the body. Then he breathed into that body a spirit, okay? Because breath and spirit were a synonymous term there.
Yes.
So the spirit, now we have the body, we have the spirit, and then he became a living soul. Now, I think the key here to understanding this is we're in the image of God. So God has a physical manifestation. You see the physical manifestation of God in the Bible, that's God the Son, right?
Yes.
We see God the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost given to us, presented in the Bible. So we have two of them. The one that's left is the Father.
Right.
Now, think about this. With the physical form manifestation of God through God the Son, God intervenes and interacts with his physical creation. With the spiritual part of God or manifestation of God, God the Holy Spirit, he communicates with us spiritually. And, and he gives us life and all those sorts of things. And, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're his children when we trust Christ as our Savior. It's the Spirit of God that touches our spirit and enlightens us and helps us to understand the gospel and brings us under conviction of our sins so that we can get saved. So we see the Spirit of God interacting with the spiritual aspect of God's creation. So what that leaves us with is the Father, and what's really kind of interesting once you think about this, God the Father is the one that makes the decisions, right?
Yes.
He makes the decisions. Jesus said, what the Father tells me to do, that's what I do.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
If you follow that pattern, our soul would be the equivalent of, I think, our personality, our will, our emotion, our intelligence, our decision-making ability. And it also gives us another beautiful picture through the Godhead, how the body is supposed to be in subjection to the mind or the soul. I guess you could call the mind the soul, not the other way around. Because think about this, we often get in trouble, don't we? We say, I wasn't thinking, I just got in the flesh.
Right.
And I tell our church, I'm not a morning person. I'm really not. That's one of the reasons I like doing the Sunday night program. I'm ready to go when I do the Sunday night program, even though I've been, preaching all day. But I'm more of a night owl. I typically stay up late, and I was telling somebody, I said, I go to bed early. I go to bed early every morning. But I'm a night owl, but in the morning, on Sunday morning, when my alarm goes off, my body says, roll over and go back to sleep.
10 more minutes.
That's what my body says. It doesn't want to get up.
Excuse me.
But you know what I have to do? I have to do what Paul said. He said, I keep my body under subjection.
Yes.
And I have to force my body to get up.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to get up. I can get 8 hours of sleep. If I get beyond 8 hours, if I get 8 hours of sleep, I feel tired, actually. But if I got full night's sleep, I still don't want to get up. My body wants to stay in bed.
10 more minutes.
Which becomes an hour. Because you do that several times, it's an hour. Yeah. So basically, my mind has to overrule my body. So that I
the battle.
Yeah, so that I can do what God wants me to do, because if I didn't get up, I'd be later than I am for church on Sunday morning. Yeah. But here's another thing too that's interesting is in Romans chapter number, let me turn over here, chapter number 8.
Okay.
Let's see.
28.
I'm sorry, chapter number 7. I'm looking at the top of the page here. Romans chapter number 7. Okay. And he talks about the battle with the sin nature, which he identifies as being in the flesh. Yes. And this is something every believer goes through. I remember one time I was at the Summit County Fair. We have our church has a booth at the Summit County Fair, which will be again at the end of July. So that's coming up. It's only... Wow, that's not even a month and a half from now. But
I'll be down there to see that.
Yeah, well, we look for our booth. But I had one guy come there a couple years ago, and with his eyes bulging and the veins standing out on his forehead and red in the face and his neck all tight and everything, he's like an inch from my face screaming at me, "I do not sin." He said he got saved, and he, by the effort of his own will, he decided he would never sin again. And I said, "Well, I really feel the love here, but
you know,
But getting back to Romans chapter 7, now notice this again. He says in verse number 15, "For that which I do, I allow not, but what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Now, it almost sounds confusing when you first read it, but this is the battle that every Christian goes through if we're honest. We find ourselves doing things that we don't want to do, that we know we shouldn't do. Absolutely. And we find ourselves not doing things that we know that we should do.
Yes.
And he elaborates. He says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now, this is a believer. This is Paul writing here. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So he has a desire to go contrary to his flesh. And he talks about this back and forth here. But let me just, for time's sake here, he drops down verse 22 where he says, verse 21, he says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's because we have a sin nature that's in the flesh. And then he says in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Now he's referring to something that we as a believer have. That's that new spirit. When we're saved, our old spirit, our spirit that was cut off from God, literally spiritually dead, to God, became alive towards God and now has fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit of God communing with our spirit, you know, confirming that we're his children and taking our prayers directly to the throne of God. So we have that inward man. And he says,
inward man.
He says, "I have that. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." What he's saying there is a battle between the new spirit that's alive in Christ that wants to serve God and be obedient to God, and the flesh that wants to rebel against God. And with his mind, he's being taken captive. And I think that's the soul there. And, you know, we were talking about that. He has to make a decision. And he says he's sometimes taken captive by the flesh. And
been there, Pastor. I've been there.
Yeah. Any Christian that's honest has to say just what you said. I've been there.
Yes.
Because there are times where the flesh gets the better of you. There's times where I've turned the alarm clock off and rolled over and gone back to sleep. Thankfully, not on Sunday morning, I don't think. But, you know, when I should have been getting up.
Yes.
You know, I knew that I should get up, but I was taken over captive by the flesh that wanted to go back to sleep. Yes. And I overslept when I should have been up doing things that I needed to do. So we have this battle where we're trying with our mind to choose to serve God and to choose to follow after him as God speaks to us through our spirit. And the body is conspiring against us. You know, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil all conspiring against us. And so as a consequence, if the soul is the equivalent of God the Father, you can see where we get in trouble when we don't reflect what happens in the Godhead. God made the decisions, and, you know, he decided to create the heaven and the earth, and, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ did it. You know, Jesus, as God the Son, did it.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, so he did what the Father instructed him to do. And so, you know, there's a beautiful illustration there in the Godhead then of how the body is supposed to be in subjection to the soul or the mind, not the other way around. And the problem that we have when, you know, the flesh literally takes captive the mind or the soul and we do things wrong. It's why we need to be saved, right? I mean, you know, because we're already spiritually dead without Christ. Yes. You know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they disobeyed God, God said that in the day that they ate the forbidden fruit, they would surely die. And a lot of times people read that and they say, well, they lived for hundreds of years after that. Well, they died immediately spiritually because they were cut off from God, because remember they hid themselves from God in the garden?
Right.
So they were cut off from God. They died spiritually immediately. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, that's the amazing miracle that takes place. God literally revives our dead spirit and creates a new spirit in Christ. And now we're alive in Christ. In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here, he said, therefore, if any man, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So then the problem happens is somebody that's not saved dies. Okay?
Right.
I used to wonder, why does the soul being cast into hell, why is that described as the second death? Well, they've been spiritually dead all their life. So their real first experience that they're aware of death is when the body dies.
Exactly.
Then when they're cast into the lake of fire, that's the second death. See how that works there, I believe.
But now, when does that happen? The moment of...
Going into the lake of fire?
Yes.
For the unsaved person, at the moment of death, they will be in hell. Luke talked about that, the illustration of the rich man and Lazarus, and what is that, chapter 16, I think it is, where in hell he lift up, the rich man dies, and in hell he lift up his eyes in being in torment. So immediately he was there. He didn't pass go. He didn't go to purgatory. He didn't wait around.
purgatory.
You know, this is what I've always thought, you know, that every county has a bridge somewhere in it that's like, you know, where somebody supposedly died or some children died in the creek, you know, 200 years ago or something.
Right.
And they're still there hanging around. They don't know they're dead. I'm sorry, you know, if I'm hanging around a bridge, everybody runs away from me for 100 years and my clothes aren't, doing anything. I'm not eating anything. You know, unless I'm brain dead, I would realize something has changed. Now, when you die, you're either going to be present with the Lord in heaven if you know Christ is your Savior, or you're going to be in hell. Now, at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, there's the great white judgment. And in Revelation chapter 20, where those that are in hell that have not trusted Christ as their Savior are then going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Along with hell itself is going to be cast into there, the Bible says. So
isn't that something?
Yeah. So
something keep happening.
Yeah. Hey, I'm out of time now. I got about 5 seconds. Thanks so much for the call, and thanks everybody for listening. God bless. Have a great Memorial Day.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.